Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father, and through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word before us today comes from the gospel for the day, John chapter 14, beginning with verse 23, in the Pew Bible on page 1081. I'd ask you to stand since this serves as the gospel for the day. John chapter 14, we begin with verse 23, Pew Bible page 1081. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Let's pray. Your presence, gracious Lord, afford. Prepare us now to receive your word. Now let your voice engage our ear and faith be mixed with what we hear. Amen. Please be seated. In life, there are some things that we're good at, and there's some things that we're not. Sometimes we fail to make that distinction, and we end up doing things that we have no business doing, occasionally with some pretty disastrous results. That's why I have my people to help me with projects around the house. Some may call me lazy, but I know what I can do and what I can't do well. Did you know that there's something that the world thinks it's very good at, but it's not? It's peace. That's pretty obvious if you're a student of history. I read recently that of the 3,600 years of recorded history in our world, there have been only 286 years of peace. There have been more than 8,000 peace treaties formed, with all of them broken in one way or another. Over 14,000 wars have been waged, with a death total of 3.6 billion people. What that tells me is what it should tell you. The world is pretty bad, absolutely rotten when it comes to its record of peace. And I'm not just talking about peace between nations either. The world is pretty bad when it comes to personal peace. Many of you know Ann Landers, the late newspaper columnist. She used to receive something like 10,000 letters a month. When she was asked what seemed to be the most common denominator among all these letters, she said that what she thought people wrote to her about most was that they were afraid of something. Afraid of losing their health. Afraid of losing their job. Afraid of losing a loved one. They were afraid of upsetting a neighbor, alienating a friend, or committing a social faux pas. I wouldn't be surprised if there are people today who are afraid of being afraid. What this tells me is what it should tell you. The world is pretty bad when it comes to personal peace, too. Jesus is different. Jesus tells us that peace is something he's very good at. Jesus can give us something that the world cannot. And Jesus does give us that peace. He says in our text this morning, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And the result? Jesus' very next word, peace. "Peace I leave with you," he says. "My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The world cannot give us peace, but Jesus can, and Jesus does. Today we're going to examine this piece as a gemologist examines a precious jewel. We're going to look at how this piece works and how this piece feels. We're going to see how Jesus fills us with this peace when he sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts. It is my prayer that as we continue our journey with the risen and living Jesus from his open and empty tomb, that all of us will leave today with a greater sense of peace than we had before. Dear friends, don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Jesus doesn't give as the world gives. Jesus gives the best peace in the world. Jesus spoke the words of our text to a band of troubled and fearful disciples. It was Maundy Thursday evening, and Jesus was about to be arrested and tried and tortured and crucified. He was about to leave his disciples, and they didn't have a clue as to what was going to happen. But they did have a sense of fear, a sense of dread. They knew that something very bad was about to happen, and they were all filled with anxiety and agitation. And so Jesus, knowing how they're feeling, says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. I'll give you my peace, a very special, a unique kind of peace, not a worldly kind of peace. I don't give to you as the world gives," Jesus said. He didn't want his disciples to go out into the world looking for peace because he knew they would never find it there. Before we move on, perhaps this is a good time for each of us to ask, where have I been looking for peace? Have I been looking in all the wrong places to the world to find peace? The world, which, by the way, has such a terrible track record when it comes to peace. A world that not only whispers, but shouts out to us at every turn, "If only you'd make a little more money, then you'd find peace. If only you'd shed a few pounds and get back into shape, then you'd find the peace that you need in the world. If only you'd read this book or watch that program or attend this seminar, then you'd discover how to have peace in your life. If only," and you fill in the blank. That's the world's solution to finding. Now, it's certainly true that these are all fine things to do. They may provide some relief and give us a temporary sense of peace. But you see, there's the problem. They provide only some relief and give us only a temporary sense of peace. But it's not long before we're looking again, searching, always looking but never finding, and nothing ever substantial. Nothing permanent. None. None of the solutions offered by the world will give us a real, a lasting, and a deep sense of peace. That's why Jesus says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." Now, Jesus says this because he knows that our natural restlessness, our inherent desire for peace, stems from something far deeper than a basic need for money. than an aesthetic need to shed some pounds and gain a buff body, than a cognitive need to fill our brains with some more smarts. Jesus knows that by nature, there's something wrong in our relationship with God. There's an old poem that goes like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." My friends, if we are looking for peace, then we've got to stop looking to the world. We've got to stop looking within at ourselves. We've got to stop ignoring God and looking to Jesus. It's Jesus who says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." The peace that Jesus promises and the peace that Jesus provides is a peace that the world does not and cannot give. And here's how it works. Jesus makes peace between us and God. That's where all peace ultimately must begin. There's one thing that stands between us and God, and that's sin. Both our original sin, that sin with which we are conceived and born, and our actual sins, those sins that we commit every day in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. It's Jesus who takes all this sin away. Deep down, you and I know that something has to be done about our sin. And sadly, there's nothing, nothing that we can do about it. The psalmist is so clear and concise when he writes, "No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough." And the Apostle Paul says from a New Testament perspective that our salvation is not from yourselves, not by works, so that no one can boast. If God were to give us 10 lifetimes and 1,000 years to live, we couldn't make even a dent in the debt of sin that we owe him. In fact, the harder we try by our behavior, our good works, by trying to balance the scales between good and bad, the farther we fall from God. For Paul says we alienate ourselves from Christ. But what we cannot do, Jesus can do, and Jesus did. Jesus took away our sin by suffering and dying for it on a cross. Then on Easter Sunday morning, 3 days later, he rose from the dead so that all that sin for which he suffered and died would be gone, removed, forgiven forever. That's why Paul the Apostle can write, "He, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." That's just another way of saying that Jesus' death paid for our sins. His resurrection from the dead proved it. Job paints an interesting picture of what God does with our sin. He writes in chapter 14 of his book, "My offenses will be sealed up in a bag." Now, the picture I get of this is of garbage. We put our garbage into the wastebasket, and all those chicken bones and watermelon rinds and coffee grounds begin to stink after a while, don't they? So what do? We seal up the bag and take it out to the dumpster in the garage. And then on Friday mornings, in our case, the garbage men come and take it all away. Job says that's what God does with our sins. He seals them all up in this big black bag. He dumps the bag at the foot of Jesus' cross, and there Jesus, one by one, pays for every single one of our sins. Now that we're forgiven, We can look up to heaven and know that there's nothing between us and God anymore. Jesus has taken our sins away. That's where peace really begins. Until we believe and embrace that truth from Scripture, there can be no real peace. And it's this message of peace that Jesus says the Holy Spirit uses to guide us on our spiritual walk with Him. A walk that began at our baptism when God clothed us in Jesus' righteousness, washed us of all of our sins, and adopted us into His family. A journey that continues as we make faithful use of God's word and sacraments along the way. And a journey that will culminate one day when Jesus taps us on the shoulder and says, "Now it's time for you to come home to your perfect peace in heaven." Until then, Jesus says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." There's a painting entitled "Peace in the Midst of the Storm" that depicts a huge waterfall crashing over the rocks below. The violence that picture portrays seems to be anything but peaceful. But almost hidden from view, caught up in a cleft of the rock, sitting calmly and unperturbed on its nest, is a little sparrow, totally oblivious to all the violence that's raging about. This is a picture of the peace that you and I enjoy in Christ. In a world of war and violence, in a world where decency and morality seem to be things of the past, in a world where bankruptcy and cancer and corruption and divorce and family strife are so prevalent, we are at peace. Jesus has put us at peace with God. Two chapters after our text, Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. My peace I give to you," Jesus says. This peace is not fake, it's not shallow, it's not temporary, it's different, it's unique, and it's real. My dear friends, look up to heaven and see who your God is. You have a God who loves you, who has forgiven you of all of your sins, and who makes promise after promise that He will provide for you and take care of you in the way that He knows that is best. And so, in the inspired words of the Apostle Paul, I close this sermon today. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand.